It's Rock the Flock for the week of Sunday, July 26, 2026. I'm Greg Wyckoff, your host. Sometimes the guests are really close to the station, like Nashville, Tennessee. Sometimes they're a little bit further away. They could be out on the West Coast. They could be on the East Coast. They could be on the heartland of the United States. It's an honor and a blessing to have guest and artist on the show that are outside in foreign countries. Praise God. I've been praying. I said, God, there has to be a local independent artist that I can help. This week, they are here. Erica and Adam Catt of the group Cherry Avenue are in studio. So get ready for that. Don't you want to miss any part of this interview, whether you're listening on the airways or you're listening on the podcast. You'll truly be blessed. It's Rock the Flock. Welcome back to Rock the Flock Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining the show. This week, Cherry Avenue. Who is Cherry Avenue? Well, you're going to get to know all about them, because I found out that some of the artists on this show, and I don't say follow you, they connect with you, because if they connect with us, then we show them who we follow. But they connect with you on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I think is really cool, before we go deep, you know, I love having, because there's several husband and wife duos on this show, and I love it when God brings two people together anyway, because I call it an intersection in life.
Yeah.
But when he calls two people together for a bigger purpose, because, you know, like we talked about in the corner over there, you have two kids, your mom and dad, mm-hmm. your husband, wife,
sure,
but then he's called you to ministry. And I don't think there's anything more powerful than that, that physically walks on this earth.
Right.
Is it a husband and wife that are working together for the kingdom?
Yeah, I do agree with that 100%.
So we're gonna take the Cherry Avenue label. We're gonna put it to the side for a minute. Because before Cherry Avenue, there was Adam and Erica Catt.
Yeah.
And before I ask you who you are, how did you meet?
Well,
see, I love that. I love asking that question.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, because it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to separate us and Cherry Avenue.
That's very true.
Because so much of our start and how we met is because of music. So we attended college at Bethel University in McKinsey, Tennessee, mm-hmm. which is notoriously on Cherry Avenue.
Yeah, the street name is Cherry Avenue. Yep.
And we both had different programs there, but we're under a big umbrella. So the big umbrella is called Renaissance, and Renaissance has lots of different areas of artsy type things. So I went on a musical theater scholarship, and he was there just on a music scholarship. He started in the choir and the rhythm section, and then the bluegrass group, and then he landed in, well, by the time I met him, he was in the Southern Gospel group, and then yeah. he went on to direct the bluegrass group. Yeah. So like, he just did a whole bunch of stuff, but I just was in musical theater the whole time.
I just wanted to play
time.
Music.
Yeah.
I just love music.
He's like, wherever the spot needs filled, I'll fill it. So we were both there for our programs, and there was like a songwriting competition that I think the music department was putting on, yeah. right? Music industry studies department.
Yeah.
And I, at the time, had only written a couple songs, but one of my teachers offered extra credit if we entered, and I'm an overachiever. So I'm like, I will embarrass myself for some extra credit. Absolutely, sign me up. I wonder who that professor was, because thank you, or we might have connected eventually, but
It was Dr. Smith, I believe.
Yeah, I didn't have a Dr. Smith, so.
Oh, well, must never have been mind.
Someone else that offered it to.
I guess that was my professor.
That was probably. Yeah. So we did the songwriting competition, and Adam also did the songwriting competition. And my song was just like, eh. I mean, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't embarrassing or anything, but it was just me. I did sing it. And then Adam entered a song, but somebody else, Dustin, sang it.
Yeah.
His friend Dustin
sang
it. He had
the voice for it.
And yeah. I was like, man, that song is awesome. Like, I got to talk to this guy because my songwriting sucks. Like, it's terrible. And this guy's really good. So I need to like learn how to, I've got to connect with him. And then what were you thinking? I can't say your thoughts.
Oh, well, I heard you sing. I'm like, oh my goodness. She is a powerhouse of a singer. And immediately I'm thinking, if we could start a band, that would be just phenomenal. You know, and
yeah. And I kind of thought the same thing. Like, I'm like, I really need to write with this guy.
Yeah. So we started hanging out.
Well, we literally exchanged numbers to start a band. So I was like, yeah. Man, you're really awesome. You do country music. Everybody else here is like totally not into country music. I don't think there were like maybe two other people in the music program that liked country music. Everybody
That's
else
true.
Was like gospel, hip hop, like not country. Everybody hated country. So it was like, we're the only two. So it's like, hey, let's get together. Yeah. Two is always twice the fun. Sorry. And we exchanged numbers, and we legit did start a band for a little bit. We even did a couple. Our campus would put on coffee houses where there was, was there even coffee?
I don't recall coffee.
I don't think there was even coffee. I don't know why we called it a coffee house.
No coffee at the coffee house.
But they had coffee houses where we would just, anybody who wanted to sing could sign up and, you know, do whatever. So we started kind of doing those for fun and started kind of writing a little bit more, like me bringing my songs in, like, how do I make this good? And he started teaching me kind of how to write and stuff like that. And somewhere in all of that, it went from starting a band to like starting a friendship, I would say. So like we were friends first, because I actually had a boyfriend, a high school boyfriend, but it was like long distance. We really just started a friendship, and I had opened up to him about how like I didn't know what to do with this relationship because I really wanted someone that could lead me and like at least meet me in where I was in my relationship with God, because it really grew when I went to Bethel. Like I met some really awesome people that just taught me how to live it out. Like, I guess I never knew how to live it out as a young person. Like I had older people that I saw living it out, but no peers living it out. And I just really started to step up in my faith and like grow my relationship with God. And very quickly I realized that this person that I had been dating, he was great. He was awesome, but just didn't have that same fire that I had. And I opened up to him about it. I'm like, I don't know what to do. And he, I didn't think at all that he was like crushing on me or anything. Had no idea.
I was absolutely crushing on
him. I mean, he's, so we have a 6-year age gap. So I thought like, he's just seeing me as like this little sister, like let's help out this little girl, you know, not to sound creepy, but it was a 6-year. I saw him as like this, like songwriter who was like Bethel's prodigy, whatever. Like, I don't know. That's where my brain is. Not now. You're
sold ya.
But at the time, like that's the perception I had. So I didn't think he was interested like that. And he just kind of talked to me like, hey, you know, if this guy's not even willing to go to church with you and he's not reading the Bible with you, it's probably not great. And I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. So I broke up with him. And
for the record, the advice, the advice that I was giving you had nothing to do with me crushing on
no,
you.
No, for sure.
Like I was genuinely trying to, you know, give you advice that
I appreciate
was
you trying to be proper on radio, but I'm a guy and I understand, you know.
I mean, she was Willy Plitty, you know, but
you know, give her advice just to get rid of that guy.
Yeah.
You know.
And to be fair, I had gotten the same advice from friends. So like I had asked like several people. I just didn't have like a male's perspective. But I did have like other female perspectives that were saying the same. Everybody was saying the same thing. God was saying the same thing. It just felt really clear. And so I did, I broke up with him. And my holdup had always been I didn't want to break up with him over the phone because we were long distance. And I wanted to do it in person. But then every time it was in person, I was just like, oh, maybe next time. I don't know. I just sucked it up and I just did it. I don't like hurting people's feelings. I'm a real big people pleaser, which I'm working on. Like we're working on that one together, me and God. But at the time, I was still really much in that people pleasing vein. And I just didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, pretty much is where I was. So did that. And, you know, we continued the band thing. We would get together. We like legit had rehearsals and for these coffee
shops. You remember that?
Yeah. We would go through songs and just like practice them and we would write and stuff like that. I helped him with a bridge of a song that he forgot about and never gave me writing credits.
Really? What's
on I Miss Home? I probably only deserve like 5%, but.
Well, I mean, my writing credits are your writing credits.
I don't really care. I'm just joking. It was a joke. I'm just making it. So then one day it's so cheesy looking back, but at the time I was like gushing, but one day it was cat sitting. Thank you, Mike and Samantha, for letting me babysit your cat. And we were just texting at the time and, we both knew that we both really liked cats. I know that's ridiculous, but
Sorry. I'm a cat dude.
We're really obsessed. Sorry. We're obsessed with cats.
And my last name is Cat.
Yeah. So. It would be kind of ironic if you weren't. And I sent him a picture of me like with this adorable like orange striped kitty. And I was like, this is so cute. And or whatever. I don't know what I said. And he's like, lucky. And I was like, I know. And he's like, I was referring to the cat. And I was like, what? I guess that's where you'd say you were shooting your shot. Like.
And what you don't know is I was shaking sending that text. I'm like, man, I hope that this goes over well.
Really I wasn't reading this situation wrong. a bit embarrassing. Thanks.
I knew it was really cheesy, but I thought, well, it works though, like with the situation.
Well, so. I mean, clearly it worked. We're married.
I was talking to my brother about it. I was like, is this okay? Like, should I do this? You know, it was.
Yeah. So I don't know. I put like, that made me really happy or something. Just like, I was like, I don't know what to say to this. And I didn't have any friends around because I was cat sitting at somebody's house. And so I just kind of, then we started kind of hanging out, you know, and doing music.
Holding hands.
Yeah.
Watching movies.
I think our first date was like Walmart. Like a
literally.
Walmart trip.
We went on a Walmart date.
We got matching pajama pants.
We did. We still have them.
We still have them. I stole both of them.
Yeah, you did.
I have both sizes.
I kind of grew out of mine.
I wear both of them. 100% cotton, so all the way. Oh, goodness. And it just kind of went from there. And we fell in love. And I don't know. We were together for, 3 years, 4 years? 2010, 2014, 4 years.
4 years.
And then after I graduated college, we got engaged. And
your senior year of college.
We got engaged the spring of so it was like almost at the end of my senior year. And got married and moved to Nashville.
Now, were you originally from Nashville?
No. I grew up just north of Bowling Green, Kentucky. In a place called Brownsville, Kentucky. Right. It would butt right up against the Mammoth Cave National Park.
And you were a little bit further away, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm originally from Ohio.
Yes.
Newark, Ohio, just like a farm town pretty much in Ohio, right in the middle, central Ohio. And we both just met at college at Bethel University. And I actually moved to Nashville first, and I had a roommate. Because we didn't live together before we were married. So he was in Bowling Green and I was in Nashville for 1 year while we were engaged until our wedding. Right. We had like a 1 year engagement because
I was working. I was trying to save up.
Yeah. So he was working in Bowling Green and I was living in Nashville just, I don't know, trying to get
7 connected hours apart.
And learn people. What?
We were 7 hours apart. When you're working at Carowinds.
Context for the people.
Oh, I also sorry. Yeah.
I did a couple summers at Carowinds Amusement Park as a singer dancer. So then we were 7 hours apart. But when I was living in Nashville, we were just an hour apart. So that wasn't terrible. And then we got married and he moved in to my apartment. Lived there for a year together, and then we got a house in Mount Juliet right outside of Nashville. And we lived there for eight or nine years doing the whole singer-songwriter thing and just trying to really play anywhere and everywhere. And
doing the Nashville game.
Doing the Nashville thing, yeah. And we moved to Alabama in 2022. Yeah, January 2022. When we moved to Silicaga.
It was the right, yeah, you're right.
Yep.
I was thinking 21, but.
No, that's when she was born. So 2022, we moved to Silicaga, and I don't know. So it's really hard to separate again because so much of our journey as a couple has been music. And that's kind of, that's what brought us together originally. And when we were dating, we did less music because our programs were so demanding. We were both traveling. I was in a musical that was touring. They were touring with, the quartet was pretty popular and they were touring. So we were just so busy. We kind of just dated then. And then we started the band back up when we got married because we were like, hey, we can actually do this now. We live together. Cause we didn't live together before we got married. So up until then, you know, proximity was definitely a deterrent for like,
welcome back to Rock the Flock. Sorry about that, but some things we can't control. Some sort of power surge. I'm going to call it the Holy Spirit. Just ran through this board because we were sitting back talking. And when I started this segment, I love that I love the story because Kentucky, Ohio, and then somehow God brings you both together in Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. On two different paths, totally different paths.
Totally separate, yeah.
And God brings you together.
Yeah.
In fact, our song is God Gave Me You because it's so fitting. But Dave Barnes' version before Blake Shelton.
No shade to Blake Shelton.
Yeah, I mean, he did a great job. I don't mean it like that.
We just fell in love with the other version before Blake Shelton released it.
Yeah. So. We liked it before Blake cut it.
Oh, goodness.
Well, I tell you what, when we come back, before we get into music, we have to, what I call, we have to ground the show. So we're going to go into the Bible.
Okay.
Get a Bible verse.
Let's do it.
Whichever one you brought to the show. And it'll be really good, trust me. So we'll be right back with Eric and Adam Catt right here on Rock the Flock Radio. Welcome back to Rock the Flock Radio. Whether you're listening on the airwaves of 89.7 WJHO, online at 897WJHO.org, or once again, I can't apologize that you've scrolled through all these podcasts and you got stuck on this one called Rock the Flock and you can't get away. Thank you for listening. This week in studio, Cherry Avenue, husband and wife, we're just going to call them the dynamic duo, Eric and Adam Catt. Thank you for coming in again. Thank you for sharing a powerful story about how you met. And it just had God stamped all over it.
Yeah, for sure.
It really did.
And speaking of God stamping over stuff, this is the time of the show to open up the Bible and bring a verse to the show. There was a little off air that was really fun. But as we get, if we get back on air and be more proper about the show, I think we have a verse.
Yeah, we do. So we were going through just trying to find a verse that is relevant to our lives right now in this season. And we both just really love this one from Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him.
Amen.
Amen.
I love that verse because right out of the chute, the Lord is good. Amen. All the time, 100% of the time. Right. A strong refuge when trouble comes. So pause right there. He doesn't say troubles won't come.
Yes.
It says a strong refuge
when
trouble comes, not if, when. He is close to those who trust in him. So we have all those three right there in the same verse. Mm-hmm. So basically he's not saying he is close to those who trust in him and you're not going to have any troubles. And I love that. The Lord is good. A strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him. And this season of life starting in 2024 is when everything really snowballed. Has been a really difficult season for us. And we're kind of, I pray we're on the other side of that right now. But started in December 2024, my mom had a brain aneurysm rupture Christmas morning. And she had a stroke because of it. And she honestly should have died. But the Lord had other plans for her because she is a living miracle. And still to this day, she hasn't regained her speech back all the way. I can communicate a little bit, but it's very difficult. So still to this day, we're still praying and we're still believing for a full, complete miracle.
Absolutely.
But all in God's timing. And one of the first things she said in the hospital was, God saved me. Yeah. And she's never said that again. She's never been able to say those words on purpose. So I just believe God was speaking through her. But right after that, I stayed in Ohio with the kids to help take care of her while Adam came back and worked. Yeah. And as soon as we got home, 2 days later, his dad was in the hospital. Do you want to talk? Do you want to take over for this section since it is your story, or you don't want to talk about it yet?
I can try.
Okay. It's still so, really fresh. That's why.
They just got back home, and dad, his aortic valve was not working properly, so they brought him to the hospital, and he actually wound up, his numbers started just getting way out of whack, and they wound up having to put him into a medically induced coma.
He was having trouble with his liver.
His liver, his, and yeah, all that was just really bad. He wound up being in a coma for 2 months because they couldn't do surgery on him without
getting his numbers up. He actually died once for several minutes.
Yeah.
And they got him
back.
They
had to bring him back. And this was right after his heart surgery that they had to bring him back. He started doing better. Of course, you know, when you're in a coma for 2 months, you lose a lot of muscle mass. So he had to basically relearn how to, you know, gain his muscles back. And, you know, so he went through physical therapy for that and was still very weak. And my dad, of course, was one of the strongest, most go-getter guys I've ever known, you know. And
it was really so difficult to see him.
Very, very difficult to see him like position. That. But they finally released him. He got to go home. Things were looking up. It was still, you know, quite the climb. While he was, you know, going through physical therapy, my mom had a massive stroke and died that night. And then a month later,
while we were at her memorial service, we got a call that his dad's heart was making this like swishing, like this kind of back.
Literally sounded like a washing machine. Yeah. And you could hear it across the room. Yeah. So,
and by the time we got back, I mean.
So we literally put mom into the ground and turned right back around and ran back to home. And, he had wound up getting an infection, a blood infection, and it ate through his new aortic valve. And it was, what, a month? And
yeah, he went downhill pretty fast after that.
He was
that.
Gone. Mm. Yeah. So it was just like bam, bam, you know. Mm. So that shook us quite a bit.
That's just like the big stuff. Like we had some other stuff. Like I was diagnosed with something like an artery disease that wasn't like really fun. I mean, it's not necessarily life-threatening, but it can be life-altering. But I'm not really claiming it. It's just something that the doctors diagnosed. I'm not really accepting it, if that makes sense.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Yes. We don't like to accept these titles that we have put on us by doctors. And our son was diagnosed with epilepsy also in this time. And just something that I literally laughed because what else can you do? The morning that we found out that his mom died, I walked out into the kitchen and there was water everywhere. And I would step on the tile and water would come out. And I was like
underneath the tile was swishing water.
So I laughed and I'm like, okay.
So our house flooded.
So my husband's in Kentucky taking care of his dad who is not doing well. And he just found out his mom died. And now I have to take care of this by myself. Cause the last thing I'm doing is calling my husband and say, hey, you know, I know you're not busy or anything dealing with all this trauma that's just been thrusted upon you, but our kitchen is leaking, you know? Yeah. And so we had to do all that. And so not only were like life circumstances chaotic, but then our home became chaotic. We had all these workers and all this noise, yeah. like actual noise of them busting up our floors.
Didn't have a kitchen. They ripped it all out.
Didn't have a kitchen for like a year. And I cook everything from scratch. So that was really not great for us. And it was just so hard. So in that season, there's a couple different ways things can go. When so many things happen to you back to back to back to back, you can run from God and blame him, mm-hmm. or you can just cling to him
right.
with everything that you have. And I'm so thankful that both of us chose to cling to God.
Yeah.
And like he really is near the brokenhearted if you just look up. Like yeah. he really is. In those seasons, I honestly do not know how people make it through seasons without God. Because what we went through last year, if I didn't have a relationship with God or if he didn't have a relationship with God, anybody else I feel like would have crumbled just in those situations and just given up
yeah.
and just spiraled. Like gone to some sort of addiction. But instead of doing that, like both of us, we just ran to God and got closer to him. I remember when my mom was in the hospital, that was I almost hate to admit this, but that was the first time that I lived and breathed Jesus when my mom was in the hospital, because it was like every day was we didn't know if she was going to live. Mm-hmm. And every day we needed a miracle. Like literally we were praying for a different miracle every day. Like we need this. And it was just one thing at a time. And I would wake up crying and not just praying like, dear Lord, heal my mom, like begging and pleading and just worshiping. Like when I didn't have the words, I would just worship
yeah.
and sing and or quote scripture. And I would sit by my mom's bedside when she was still sedated and just like read scripture and pray over her and sing these songs when I didn't have the words. And I lived and breathed Jesus, like nothing else mattered. And that was really, I guess, the first time that that had ever happened. Not that I haven't been a dedicated follower to Christ in the past, but that was just all that was on my mind, no matter what. If I woke up in the middle of the night, I was praying.
Yeah.
If I, you know, every second of the day. And then to turn around and watch my husband do the same thing. You know, losing your parents back to back like that could really, really send you into a spiral. But he didn't. He still led our family and he still like got up each day. Mm-hmm. And at that point, that's an accomplishment.
It yeah.
Like he got up every day and it wasn't like a woe is me and feel pity for me. It was like God has purpose in yeah. this. And I'm gonna cling to God. And God didn't create all these things that happen, but he will work it together for his good. Amen. And
you just keep taking one step at a time.
Yeah.
Just keep stepping forward. And I mean, sorry, did I interrupt you?
No,
I didn't
you're good.
Mean to interrupt. For me, it was staying in constant prayer, mm-hmm. which, you know, the Bible tells us, you know.
Yeah.
Without ceasing. And I found myself doing that. Constant prayer, constantly talking to God, constantly praying to Jesus. And just that's what gave me the strength. And you know what's really, really neat is I could feel people praying.
Oh, yeah.
I literally felt the prayers.
Same with my mom, yeah.
You know, because I would start to get really down and start to, even though I was trying to stay in prayer myself, but, you know, we're humans, we're not perfect. And I would start to kind of begin to spiral. And then I would feel something and it would lift me up. And I knew right then and there, somebody just prayed for me.
Yeah.
You know, which gives you hope, gives you, you know, peace. And it was so neat to take what would have been just a terrible, terrible situation and use that to gain strength, you know, and that's pretty much what we both did.
Yeah. You know? We really my mom is like my everything. She's my best friend. And I'm still dealing with a little bit of grief because I can't just call her up and talk to her. We FaceTime, but it's still difficult and that's okay. But I believe in God's timing. But through it all, I think the big takeaway is don't blame God. Like, God is good, mm-hmm. right? That's what that verse that we were just talking about in Nahum is. God is good. And when the troubles come, which they will, God tells us, He will be near. And if you trust in Him, and that's all you have to do, you just have to trust in Him. And it doesn't have to be this big thing. It's just I trust you. I'm going to breathe and I'm going to get up and I'm going to put my big girl pants on today. I'm going to be a mom. I'm not going to lay on the couch. I'm going to take them to the park. I'm going to get up. And it doesn't have to be this huge thing. But most importantly, like if I can encourage anybody today, don't keep things to yourself. The Bible is really clear about sharing. Yeah. That's for a reason, because when Adam said he felt those prayers, he wouldn't have felt those prayers if we wouldn't have asked for them.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Same with my mom. Like, I could literally feel that. And every time a big group of people got together and prayed, the next day we would see a miracle. Mm-hmm. You know, the day my aunt's church prayed for her and my aunt stepped in and they laid hands and like intercession or whatever, and they prayed for her, that next day she passed her swallow test and was able to eat food again. And that's when we really saw progress just shoot up for her physically. And she was able to walk like a month later, which was just insane. And if you don't communicate that you need prayer, nobody knows to pray for you. I mean, sometimes God will lay someone on your heart. You know, God can work through anything. And there have been times where God lays somebody on my heart. And I'm like, I don't know what they're going through right now, but obviously they need prayer. And God, and I just pray. But you don't even have to put it on Facebook. You don't need to let everybody know your business. That's what we did. We wanted all the prayer that we could get. So we're like, Facebook, Instagram, we're going to tell everybody because I want people praying for my mom, and he wanted people praying for his family. But you don't even have to do that. Like, have a small group of people. Like that person that you always see post about God, I promise you, if you send them a message and you're like, hey, I don't want to tell too many people, but right now I really need prayer for this. Tell them. Find that person that you see is truly living for God. And if it's something that's really intimate that you don't want to share because maybe there's some shame around it, find someone that you just know, hey, like this person, I can tell by the way that they walk and the way that they live, I can trust them with this. You need someone to pray for with you, because sometimes we're not strong enough. And sometimes we need somebody else to stand in for us when we just can't.
Right.
When we're beat, when we're tired. And during this time, we had such a great community of people.
Yeah.
We're in a homeschool co-op and they were so helpful. I have a mom's group and they were so helpful. And just so many people were just wrapping their arms around us during that time in prayer and just in, you know, hey, can I make you a meal or can I do this for you? So it's just so important to reach out to at least a small group in prayer or even just one person. You just, you, God is always there and he will be there no matter what. But it also is important to find someone else helpful, if it's a believer, that you can share these things with and just, what do I do? Like, I don't have the strength to be strong right now. And thankfully we have each other for that. You know, not going to lie, it was harder because we were both being hit. Mm-hmm. So we both had to lift each other up. Like, I'm still, and that's another thing. It was like, I'm still down and I'm still grieving and I'm still like struggling. My mom still can't talk, but I'm here for you because, you know, you need me right now. And I don't know.
Leaned on each other.
We leaned on each other a lot and we prayed together for sure.
That's crazy. We're talking about this because ironically, I was in Houston, Texas, Saturday, burying my dad.
I know. You just told me about that. And I'm so sorry.
Probably one of the toughest things. It was a blessing to be able to do, but I did the graveside service.
Yeah.
I thought, tough, Greg, you know, I'm tough. I can make this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed up to 2:30 in the morning, getting it just right. Cause I'm a perfectionist. It's one of my issues I have to work on. But I thought, I'll just get up there. It's written down. How hard can it be?
Right.
Yeah. It was really hard.
Yeah.
It was really hard. But I'm going to, in one of the segments on this show, I prayed about it and I'm going to share it.
Yeah.
Because it was much more than at that time and place.
Right.
And it's basically, what do you do with your time? You know, what do you do with your time? So that'll be coming up later on the show. But thank you for opening up. That's tough to talk about.
Yeah.
It's really tough to talk about.
Yeah, I think that's the first time Adam's...
I haven't been able to talk about it at all.
When we give our testimony in church, I kind of cover his part right now because it's still so fresh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can pep it up in a minute.
But God heals all wounds, you know?
He does.
And he is near the brokenhearted. Like, he really is. And if I any advice that I can give you, just cling to Jesus. Like, literally, that's all you can do. And just trust in him. And he is good even when our circumstances are bad.
Right.
That's right, because most times our plan doesn't work out. And our plan doesn't work out because God's plan always works out.
Exactly.
And we may not see it today. We may have something devastating happen in our life today.
Yeah.
And it may be next week, next year. It may be 10 years from now. And if it's past that, when we're in face-to-face with God, it won't matter anyway.
Yeah. Right.
But it's his plan working out. And it's not... Sometimes it's not for us. The tragedy may not be for us, but it's how we handle it, how we use, we stand, well, we're really not standing, we're leaning on Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And people see that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, in our vulnerability of grieving or anger or disappointment, that people see how we react.
Yes.
Right.
And we don't have to say a word to be able to get Jesus in their heart.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing all that.
Yeah. During that season, so many people would be like, come up to me and be like, you're so strong. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like,
yeah, same thing happened to me.
You know, I'm just trusting in God. He's strong. I'm not. But, you know.
Isn't it cool?
Praise the Lord that I don't have to be. Like,
yeah.
I can just like cry at his feet and then he's got it. Like, he's the strong one. And yeah.
Look what one verse in Nahum did.
I know.
21 minutes later.
Y'all got to go read the whole book. I'm telling you.
Well, I'll tell you about when we come back. Like I said, we're going to have fun because we're going to talk about music.
Hey, we know a little bit about that.
We'll be right back with Cherry Avenue. And that is Erica and Adam Catt, right here on Rock the Flock. It's Rock the Flock Radio. Thank you for tuning in this week. Thank you for joining the show. Thank you to all the artists for making this you say it all the time, a one-of-a-kind show. Your music is amazing. I really appreciate all the messages, the communication we have every week. You guys blow it away. And speaking of blowing it away, in the studio this week, literally Erica was just blowing it away. See, I kind of put that together, didn't I?
Yeah.
Erica and Adam Katt from the group Cherry Avenue. And now we know, I was going to ask you before, this is the music segment, but now I know why the group's named Cherry Avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's the name of the street.
That's where we met.
Yeah. Where you met.
Fell in love.
Where we started a band. Wrote a couple songs.
Well, that goes right into it, because this is my favorite question to ask, because I'm blown away. I can't fathom the numbers that are thrown at me. How many songs have you written?
I don't even know. On my list of like, I have like a catalog list so that I don't forget songs. Because mm-hmm. when you write a lot of songs, you be surprised, you just forget them. Mm-hmm. And
oh, I'd forget after
you write,
two or three.
Yeah, well, you write a song and then I might turn around and write another song that very night. Like, and some of them stick in your mind and some of them you forget about. So I do make a list because I've written some really good songs that I forgot about. And then I go back and I'm like, oh, that's actually a really good song. Why did I forget that? So I have a catalog, but there's some songs I don't put on there. Like if I don't feel like it's strong enough to ever pitch or to cut or anything like that. And I think there's like 200 on that. So that's just like that list. But then there's like other songs that didn't make the list, if that makes sense. So, I don't know, probably.
It's a giant catalog.
It's a lot of songs.
let's trim it down a little bit. How many songs have you quote unquote produced?
So right now I think we have like what, 7 or 8 songs out, and then we're going to put out an album that has 11 songs on it.
Okay.
So
when does that come out?
Well, we don't have an official date, but it should be next month, hopefully.
Yeah, we're shooting for next
Adam
month.
Adam is mixing it right now in the studio here in Sylacauga at Music Works. And hopefully he'll be done with it any day now. Like he's got...
I'm close.
So hopefully by next week he's done and then we can pick a release date. So hopefully in August. I'm crossing my fingers. I'm really praying that August will work.
I'm really trying to make it happen.
So that'll be... a country album, but it'll have a couple Christian songs on it. And then as soon as we're done releasing that, we're going to get in the studio again and start on our Christian album.
Yeah.
We already have like...
Our stuff has always been positive.
Yeah, it's all family friendly and positive.
Because that's just
music.
Who we are.
But we're really shifting gears to straight up Christian country music. And we're really excited to start working on that. So when everybody else is excited about our album coming out, we're going to be excited about getting in the studio again and creating something new.
I had an artist a few weeks ago, couldn't fathom the word country Christian music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She said, you'll have to send it to me. I've never heard it.
Yeah.
And I mean, people don't, I guess, but like I said, they're all kind of genres of music on this show.
Sure. Yeah.
But the one thing they all have in common is Jesus. So that's all that matters.
That's right.
Because like I always say, the music is the vehicle to get it to the ears of who it needs to, the word needs to go to. So
yeah, exactly. Absolutely. That's one of the great things about being songwriters is that we might not necessarily hear what we want to create. So then we can just create it ourselves, which is really fun.
Now, what instruments do you play?
Oh, boy. I mainly play guitar. You know, I play several instruments, I guess.
He plays everything that goes in his hands. I mean, if you hand him some random instrument, he'll be able to figure it out.
Yeah. Harmonica, drums, of course,
bass guitar.
Geez, what else?
Piano. You've been picking around on the mandolin for fun.
Mandolin, yeah. So, several things.
But on stage, typically you can see him playing
electric
or acoustic guitar.
Yeah, mainly on stage.
I don't play anything.
That's my main instrument, yeah.
I was not given that gift to be able to play. So that's not...
No, let me stop you right there.
That's not my thing.
Because I had an artist, was it 2 weeks ago? That said she couldn't play anything, but her instrument that God gave her was her voice. And
exactly.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
Right.
And it is.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I'm not mad about it. It is what it is. I love singing and I love just being able to focus on that. And to be honest, so often I get lost in the song that it's probably a good thing that I don't play an instrument. I might forget to play it because I'd just be like so in the song.
Yeah, I'd be looking down. And yeah, I'd be.
We tried something one time. We gave her a tambourine while she was singing, and that did not work well.
It works well until I am until really into
start
the song.
Singing.
I can play it on the verses.
That's true.
Whenever I start like just really singing, I'm just like, nope, this thing's got to go. Throw it on the floor.
But that's true. Your instrument is your voice.
Yeah. And like my stage presence, that feels weird to say. I grew up in dance. So I did dance competitively competitively from 9 to 18. Mm-hmm. And then I worked in an amusement park as a singer dancer for a couple years after that. I did it in college and everything. So I guess my strong suits there would be like performing and just like being expressive, if that makes sense.
She's very animated.
I feel
on stage.
I feel all of the things, all of the emotions in the songs.
I just try to keep up.
Do you play keyboard?
I do a little bit.
Okay.
But it's more like the level of just padding. You know, I can figure things out if I need to. But I wouldn't say I'm a strong player of it. I could probably fool people into thinking that I'm decent, but that's about the extent of it.
Because I'm a data person, because if you have enough data to prove something, it's just the way it is. And on this show, I found out that if you can play the piano, you can basically pick anything else up.
That's true.
It is true.
It's really very true.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why they always tell you, like if you have a child or something, or anybody who wants to get into music, like always teach piano first. Mm-hmm. It gives you like the basis for music. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when people, like kids start music lessons, they'll always tell them, start with piano.
Yeah.
Have you ever forgotten the words on stage?
100%. I did yesterday.
I forget them all the time.
I straight up forgot the words yesterday. And I was like, I'm sorry. I just totally forgot the words. Let me start that again. I think it's, you know, it's what makes us all human and relatable. Mm-hmm. I love watching like a big, huge, famous artist. I love hearing them like go flat or like hearing them forget the words or stumble or maybe like mumble a word where clearly they were accidentally meant to. I love it. It's I never think like, oh, you're terrible. I'm like, yes, you're human.
Human.
You're not lip syncing. You're not auto-tune. Like, this is great. This is live music. This is real. Especially in a world of AI today. It's like, oh, that's so great. But yeah, I have. And when I was younger too, I didn't necessarily mess up the words to the national anthem, but I repeated them twice. Granted, I was like 12, so I had a little bit more grace. But it really bothers me when an artist gets on stage and messes up the words to the national anthem and gets all this hate. And I'm like, you just have no clue.
You have no clue.
And it's not that they weren't prepared. That's not the thing. It's not, being prepared isn't the reason why people forget the words. It's just because we're like human beings.
Yeah.
When I was singing in amusement parks, we sang, okay, just for reference of how many times I had sang this song, it was a 4-month contract. We had 6 shows a day, 6 shows a week.
Ooh.
Y'all do the math. It was the last week of shows, and I forgot the words to a song. So it's not that you don't know them or you're not prepared. It's literally just that we're human, and sometimes we stumble and we forget things. So, I hate seeing somebody get dragged through the mud for forgetting. How dare you forget the words to our country's national? And I'm like, they're literally just human. They might be nervous or they might not be nervous.
Yeah.
Like it just happens.
You know? I'm sorry, but if you're singing the national anthem in front of all those people, I mean, that is a heavy load to carry, you know? So it's easy to flub up, you know?
So. And it is for anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah.
Well, you sent a song to me and I love it.
Thank you.
And it's called, and let me make sure, is it, there wasn't a G on it. So it's rocking?
Yeah, rocking chair.
Rocking chair.
Yeah.
I like it. And I like, well, I'm not, because it's not my song. You're going to talk about your song. Tell me why you wrote Rocking Chair.
So Adam has lost both of his grandmothers. One when he was really young, so you didn't get to know her as much, right?
Yeah, not as well. I was pretty young.
Yeah, and then one when he was older. Like, we were dating by that point, so I actually got to meet her. Mm-hmm. And then I lost my grandma when we just first started dating. So you got to meet her, mm-hmm. which is great. And then I have a grandmother that's still alive. So we were just thinking one day, and Adam's like, you know, I remember my grandma having a rocking chair that she would just sit in. And I have so many memories of her just telling stories, and just so many things happened around her rocking chair. And I was like, well, that's crazy, because the rocking chair that we have, like, over there in the corner, that was actually my grandmother's. And she passed it to my aunt, and my aunt gave it to my mom when my mom was pregnant with me. My mom rocked me in it. And then I had it, and I rocked our kids in the rocking chair. And so we both could relate to this concept of grandma having a rocking chair.
Right.
But the rocking chair, you know, like, it was grandma's.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just knew. And so many things happen in that rocking chair. And if we both have this experience with our grandmothers in a rocking chair, I'm sure there's so many other people that have these same experiences. So yeah. We got with a friend, one of our friends, when we were still living in Nashville, Daniel Niehoff, fantastic songwriter. He's such a good storyteller. So when he came over for the write, and he's like, you know, you guys have anything that you want to write, like anything specific? And we're like, yeah, we want to write this song. And we told him the idea. And we wanted to write it with him because he's so good at storytelling. And we thought, who better to write this song with than the storyteller himself? So we got together and we started writing the song. And it was one of those songs that just, like, wrote itself.
Yeah.
Like, literally 30 minutes just rolled out. I
was
going to
say, what was it, 30 minutes?
Maybe, if that. Like, probably rolled out in, like, 15 minutes. And then we just, like, tweaked some things to make it more personal to us and stuff. And it just kind of rolled out. And it was just a really special moment, and something that, I don't know, you haven't cried, but there's been several different times where it just hits and I just cry and I have to, like, take a breath and we gotta take a step back. And I think that's something that's so special about music, when a song, even a song that, like, we wrote, mm-hmm. can just move you in a way, in an unexpected way.
Now, is it played on radio anywhere?
Not yet. So this is one of the ones that's going to be on our album.
Okay.
And so it's going to be released hopefully in August. No pressure. So we're really excited about it. There's so many people that have been waiting for this song for years. And I don't mean to be dramatic, but literal years, especially a lot of my cousins who relate to, you know, remembering the same memories that are told in the song. And even yesterday, we played it at the Lake Martin Songwriting Festival, and there were so many people that came up to me and were like, I still have my grandma's rocking chair. That song really touched me. And
they said they were even crying.
Yeah. You know? Which, you know, I never want to, like, make people cry, but I do think it's special when you can move someone and they can relate to something that you've poured your heart into.
Well, do we need to play it this week, or do we need to hold on to it a little bit longer?
No, I mean, you can play it. Great. If you like it, just follow us on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah.
And here in a month, we'll have a release date for you, at least. At the very least, we'll have a release date. Hopefully, it'll already be released. So, if you like it, you just got to stick around, I guess.
So literally another world premiere. That's what I call it. Because it is.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
When you have people listening in Holland, you have orphanages in Africa listening. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Wow.
So Cherry Avenue is fixing to take a trip around the world. So why don't you intro the song and then we'll play it?
Okay. Yeah. The song is called Rocking Chair by Cherry Avenue, written by Adam Catt, Erica Catt, and Daniel Niehoff.
Welcome back to Rock the Flock Radio. Thank you for staying with us for 2 hours. Thank you to all the music that, man, I'll absolutely love it. We'll be debuting, well, we played a brand new song this week, and that's the guests that are in the studio. Week before last, we debuted DeJoy's new song, Muzzle on My Mouth. Next week, we have another new song going to be debuted on the show, and a new artist from Ohio, which is crazy, on the show. But we usually don't get in-studio guests here at Rock the Flock. We've had artists come through the area that have come from Nashville, been south of here, and have come through and have stopped by to play in studio. And that would be cool if you guys came in here and played in studio.
Yeah.
We may have to work on that. But, yeah. You know, it's Erica and Adam Catt, Cherry Avenue. Before we go any further, can we just go to the Lord in prayer?
Absolutely.
Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you again for this opportunity, Lord. Thank you for all the artists on this show. Lord, please bless them. Please be with their families. Please watch over them, Heavenly Father. For this husband, wife, this mom, dad that are here today. God, you've brought them through much. And they both know, Lord, there's still more to come. But thank you for being in their lives. God, thank you for being the pillow that they can rest on. God, I ask that you will wrap a hedge of protection around them, their children. God, that you will send angels to walk with them. Lord, that you will lead them to the right door so they don't walk aimlessly in this world, that you will send the right people to them, Lord, to advance your kingdom. And God bless each and every step of their life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We made it through a show. How can people connect with you? Because I know they want to know now.
Right.
And they're going to want to hear more of your stories. They're going to want to hear more about how you met. They're going to be asking about your mom.
Yeah.
They're going to be checking on you, Adam. And they're gonna be wanting to know about this new record coming out.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thank you for having us. This has been awesome. It's really cool to have someone who is doing such a cool thing for the kingdom of God, and also just for artists who are trying to do something for the kingdom of God as well. Because ultimately, that's what we're all doing. We just want that party in heaven to be extra large.
Yeah.
First of all, if you wouldn't mind, just continue praying for my mom. Her name is Marsha. We just want her speech to come back. That would be awesome. And we do give some progress on our pages. We have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have TikTok. We technically have, what is it even called now? X? I don't know, but I just post whatever we post on Instagram on there. So if that's something you like, you can find us there, but I'll probably never reply to a comment because I don't even know the login, but we are there.
You can also go to cherryavenuemusic.com.
Yes. And it has all of our links.
That'll
on
lead
it.
You directly to, you know, all of our socials.
Social media. And then it also has our promo video that kind of shows what we do in a church. So if we do play in churches, festivals, anything family friendly, like if you would bring your children to it, we would play at it. But lots of churches, we love to play in churches. That's one of our favorite spots. So if you have a church that you want us to come to, we travel, we do anything.
Yep.
As long as we have somewhere to rest our head at night, we're pretty much good. You feed us, we'll be happy.
Yep.
So if you have a church, please reach out.
We are actively booking.
We're actively booking, yeah. And then our album will hopefully be coming out in August. At the very latest, it'll be September. So if you follow us on these pages, you'll hear about it because we'll be blowing everybody up with it once it's out. And we also have we're on Bands in Town for like local shows and mm-hmm. or whatever, because we do play other places, not just local. And we have a newsletter. If you want to enter our newsletter, you can go to our website. And then when we release things, that information will be sent out to you. And that's pretty much it, I think. Oh, we have stuff on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, all those places too.
Yeah. But basically the easiest way is to go to cherryavenuemusic.com. Then you can
find all those links.
Go to all of them. Yep. You see, when you're superstars, you have to have links. You have to have big pages like that to get to all your links.
Yeah, because there's so many. And you, if you follow us there, you'll learn more about our kids and all that too. They sing on stage with us some, and it's very sweet. And they have hearts for music too, which is really cool.
Well, any final thoughts?
I don't know. I'm just grateful.
Adam looks at Erica.
I'm just grateful to be able to do this, like not only as husband and wife, but now that our kids are wanting to step in mm-hmm. and join, I'm just grateful that we get to do this as a family, and that our story is helping people. So when we go to churches, there's always people that come up and share their stories with us. And I think it's just that reminder that you're not alone, and that there are other people that are going through things. And that's what the body of believers is for. That's what the church is for, to help support people during those times. And I'm just grateful for that God would choose us for that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That is Erica and Adam Catt, Cherry Avenue. And if the Lord doesn't come back, we'll be back next week for another episode of Rock the Flock.